Last spring, I spoke to you on the importance of religious freedom and the offenses against religious freedom in our country as of late. And I got a call that Sunday. Somebody anonymous, they blocked their caller ID, they did not leave their name. They said that they came to church to hear about Jesus, not politics. Reminded me of a story that somebody recently told me. A pastor gave a homily and received in the mail a couple days later a single piece of paper that had one word on it in big black letters, fool. So that Sunday he got up before his congregation and he said this, I have known many an instance of a man writing a letter and forgetting to sign his name, but this is the only instance I've ever known a man signing his name and forgetting to write a letter. Brothers and sisters, we are similarly fools if we think that politics and religion should not interact, especially in this country where we are given such freedom. You do not know your history if you think that we should separate Jesus and politics. It is the very freedom that we're given in this country to allow our faith to influence our politics. Some people say that politics do not belong in the church, and the U.S. bishops have this today to say in their document entitled Faithful Citizenship. The church's obligation to participate in shaping the moral character of a society is a requirement of our faith, a part of the mission given to us by Jesus Christ. As people of both faith and reason, Catholics are called to bring truth to political life and to practice Christ's commandment to love one another, John 13. Pope Benedict XVI said this, charity must animate the entire lives of the lay faithful, and therefore also their political activity, living as social charity. He said this in his document, Deo Caritas Est. Brothers and sisters, to separate Jesus into politics is to separate the body and the soul. It's to go against the very nature of who we are and how God made us to be as integrated human beings. But to talk about politics in the church is not to talk about a political party or a political person. As Catholics, we should be guided more by our moral convictions, the bishops say, than by our attachment to a political party or an interest group. And so to identify the church with being a Republican, or to identify the church with being part of a political action group, is incorrect. The question we should be asking ourselves with our identity as Catholic Christians is, how does that identity influence our beliefs in what is true and good for our society? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ himself said that we are supposed to be salt to the earth and a light to the nations. This is a wonderful opportunity in our country to do that, and we must not pass it up. But I think the challenge is that a lot of times we look at Jesus and we look at the church and we look at politics and we think, well, the church is just another entity out there with another opinion, right? They're just another political action committee, if you will. Although they're, you know, not for profit, so can't mess that up. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says this, conscience is a judgment of reason whereby the human person recognizes the moral quality of a concrete act. Every person is obligated to follow faithfully what he knows to be right and just. You see, brothers and sisters, when it comes to our voting and our politics, it shouldn't be about an opinion. It should be about our conscience. What is right and just for everybody in this country? Now, there are certain things that are different for every person. What's right and just for one person may not be what's right and just for another, but there are indeed some issues where that is true. The bishops go on to say, "We Catholics have a lifelong obligation to form our consciences in accord with human reason, enlightened by the teachings of Christ as they come through the church." And so the question I would ask you as you approach this election day is, have you enlightened your conscience? Have you formed your conscience in preparation for voting? Not have you informed yourself about all the issues. That is important. That is very important, about all the issues, not just pro-life issues. But have you also formed your conscience according to your beliefs on those issues? A lot of people say that Catholics are one-issue voters. And you know, if, for example, abortion is just one among many issues that should be weighed, then yeah, Catholics are one-issue voters. If we look at, you know, jobs and wars and abortion all on an even playing field, then yeah, that's a fair criticism of Catholics. But if my conscience, that is, my view of right and wrong, influences my worldview and who I want to lead this great nation, then it's not a question of an opinion, it's a question of good and evil, and there is a hierarchy of evil and good. Joblessness is bad, but not intrinsically evil. Poverty is bad, but not intrinsically evil. In fact, Jesus says that it is sometimes preferred. Tooth decay is bad, but not intrinsically evil. But what about abortion? The bishops say this: there are some things that we must never do, as individuals or as a society, because they are always incompatible with love of God and neighbor. These intrinsically evil acts must always be rejected and never supported. A preeminent example is the intentional taking of a human life through abortion. It is always morally wrong to destroy innocent human beings. A legal system that allows the right to life to be violated on the grounds of choice is fundamentally flawed. And brothers and sisters, we have a duty as Americans to correct that legal system when it is within our power. They go on to say, as Catholics, we are not single-issue voters. A candidate's position on a single issue is not sufficient to guarantee a voter's support. Yet a candidate's position on a single issue that involves an intrinsic evil, such as support of legal abortion, may legitimately lead a voter to disqualify a candidate from receiving support. 23% of all pregnancies end in abortion. 3,300 children killed each day. Would it make a difference if they were shot with a gun versus sucked out of a womb? 137 children per hour. One abortion every 26 seconds. And while you go to Mass today, 137 children will die because some of us do not use our legal system and our God. What a great gift we have in this country to vote. We don't use that vote to get rid of this intrinsic evil. You know, in one day at the World Trade Center on 9/11, about the same number of people died. What if a terrorism attack happened every day that killed 3,300 people? Would you keep that president in office? You know, I voted in advance the other day. And I got to the back of the ballot, and some of you have voted in advance, so you've seen the ballot. And I get to this fluoride question, which is a whole nother conversation, and we're certainly not having in this church. But I was sitting there thinking, you know, I read this whole long explanation, and you know how it is. You get to the end of it, and you're like, what are they even saying? Could somebody just simplify this for me? And what impressed me is that on the back of my ballot, I'm being asked a question about fluoride. Where on my ballot am I being asked about whether children live or die in this country? And the closest answer I could come up with is that the only place on that ballot, or the best place on that ballot, to vote for life or death of children was at the very top of the first page. And guys, I'm telling you my personal opinion. I don't promote any one candidate. I tell you, I watched that town hall debate, and I wanted the moderator to stand up and tell them to both shut up because it was the American people who elected them and they needed to quit interrupting each other. But we need to choose our best option for supporting the dignity of human life. And when it's fluoride versus 1.21 million babies dying every year, there's some issues that just pale in comparison. We have a moral duty to vote first on things that are intrinsically evil, and then we can get to the other evils in our world, the economy and wars and jobs. Despite the way many people like to demonize our president, he's not intrinsically evil either. He's a child of God, and he needs our prayers. As you prepare for Election Day, I encourage you to vote your conscience, not your opinion, and form that conscience by realizing that there are evils in this world that are greater than others. And consider these words from John Paul II. A nation that kills its own children has no future.